I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Revelation is not to be read without a good commentary, or six. To help us understand the imagery and how that has been interpreted over the years, because it's a changing pattern as different people read it and different people interpret it, with what's happening in the world at the moment and what was happening when other people have interpreted it. So my go-to on this occasion is Tom Wright, and I'm using his For Everyone commentary on Revelations. And the phrase that I'm picking up is, "See, I am making all things new." So that's where I'm going to start. I think for all of us, there will be moments in our life when there has been a seismic shift in what's happening. So think about your life and what's happened in your life and where the changes have happened, when things will never be the same again. That's not the same as making all things new, but it just gives you a sense of what that all things new might feel like. So where in your life have things happened that actually change things forever? Now, I'm not going to go back through my childhood because that's just too far back, even for me now. But I am going to start with June the 15th, 1973. That's when I bumped into a very young man at that point. And things have never been the same since. You've also met that person, because I'm still with him. Or actually, I'm not sure, I think he's still with me. We'll put it that way round. And you just know. Anybody who's been fortunate enough to bump into somebody that you know just about instantaneously that this is somebody you want to share your life with. And I must admit, people thought we were completely crackers because we were 16 and 17. That gives you some idea about how old we are but now as well. And we were both married by 19. And everybody said it won't last. And who knows? I'm not saying it's been an easy ride, but we've had our ups and downs. I think John probably would agree with that as well. But we're still together through all of that. But that shift, that actually nothing will ever be the same again. And then as a married couple, you sort of set off on this new adventure and we were fortunate enough to buy a house. And when people are talking about interest rates today, we lived through the interest rates that were going up to 14 and 15% on your mortgage. And, you know, we survived. So I want to say to people, it's possible to manage, although it's very, very difficult. We're still here to tell the story. So we bought a new home. Well, it wasn't a new home. Actually, it was a derelict home. It's what we could afford. And there's a pattern through our married life about houses that we've built and or bought and water. So our first house that we bought had water. When the book of Revelation says, and there will be no more sea, we could have done with no more sea in our first home. Because our first home, we realised when the lady removed all of her furniture, because when we went to visit it, you couldn't see the floor space at all. When she removed all the furniture, there we encountered the damp and the wet and the pool that was underneath the floor. The flooring had to be moved. Unfortunately, my granddad was alive then, so he came and gave us a huge help. That's when we learned never to look at the mortgage application in short or survey, because they just said there's a bit of damp. This wasn't a bit of damp, this was a flood. So anyway, we've survived that. We did it up and we made that house new. It became our home for a while until we decided that we might want to start a family. And this was only literally, it was a two up, two down, so we moved. And we ended up buying somewhere a bit bigger that again was suitable for children. Apart from the fact that this house, because we were living in Salt Ash, we didn't stay there very long, because when the toddlers became toddlers, we realised that they could fall down three flights of stairs in an instant. And that was in the back garden, concrete. So we bought a bungalow, and the bungalow had water in it as well. Anyway, so if we keep doing places up. So manses are not a problem. Manses are really quite nice by comparison to some of the places that we've bought and done up. But that sense of making all things new. And the shock of our life wasn't getting married. That was fine. That was wonderful. The shock of our life wasn't me becoming pregnant, because that was all planned and part of the process. The shock was what happens when you bring that thing home with you. Somebody asked me recently, who's got a 12-year-old little girl, and this wasn't my son, this is somebody outside that I know. He said to me, "Deborah, how long is it before you ever stop worrying about your children?" Can I ask those of you who have had children whether you still worry about them?
Yes.
Put your hat, yeah, absolutely. I said to him, just don't go there. Don't even think about it. But that sense that you, what you thought was okay, you'd got your life all mapped out, and then this bundle of joy, wet, squirming, screaming, comes home with you, and then you realise that nothing will ever be the same again. And we stupidly then had another one, which didn't make it any better. But they are still our joy and our consternation and our happiness and our anxiety, all rolled into one, but nothing will be the same again. And there is a sense that each of those things do make life new, because they change life. But that still isn't what the writer of Revelation is on about. This is something even bigger than those life-changing moments that many of us will have had in our life. And we were watching the news this morning and watching the fires in Rhodes. Now, it's not the only place that's got these wildfire fires. But we remember going to Rhodes 20 plus years ago, and they'd encountered the year before we were there. Again, horrendous fires had ripped Rhodes apart. And I remember looking around, and they were so pleased because God was making all things new. That was the phrase that was going through as we went around Rhodes in that particular year. God is still making all things new, because the new growth that was coming up from the absolute desolation that was left after the fires had gone through their forests. I just think it's such a sad event that, you know, here we are 20 years on and all that had grown is about to be demolished again. But God is constantly making all things new. It's not just the vision that John has in this book of Revelation, that there will be a point when God makes ultimately all things new. It's a continuing thing. All the way through our life, God is making things new. All the way through creation, God is making all things new. It's a continuing theme. As we look around and we look at the life that we live and the world that we live in, nothing ever stays the same. That's just a fact of life. And so we remember, and we need to remember, that things are changing. So we've gone through some awful moments. We've gone through COVID, and nothing's ever going to be the same as it was before COVID. But actually, we are here. We're fortunate that we're here to build again, to start afresh, to look at what was good before COVID and what has happened during COVID that actually gives us different opportunities, new opportunities to spread the gospel, to be the people of God. You know, things such as YouTube, which we didn't really bother with before, but we still use now for some of our music. The way that we entertain and we engage with people has changed. Nothing will be the same. But God is continuing to make all things new. I think that's really important that we remember. So we need to look at all these positive events and think about how we tell others about what God is doing. And the big one for me in all of this, at the end of Revelation, and we saw it a little bit when we're talking about the temple, is that the people of that time were beginning to realise that with the death and resurrection of Jesus, the temple is us. God came to dwell with us, in us, through us. We are the new heaven and the new earth. We're the ones who have that opportunity to spread all that good news. And so we're picking that up in Revelation. What is for me one of the favourite parts of our Christmas story, when we do the nativity and we start with, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is there in that book of Revelation, and that is what's happening here. God comes and dwells with us, in us, and through us. We are God's temple. We need a building. We can't do without buildings because we do live in the UK, and we do need shelter from the wind, the rain, the sun, anything that the weather can throw at us. But this isn't the temple. We are God's temple. We are the people who carry the image of God with us. We are the people who show God to others and who can see God in others. It's a both and. So we are really, I think, blessed by being called out to be the people. This is the incarnation that was talked about in John's Gospel and now talked about here in this book of Revelation. But it's bigger than that first God dwelt among us, because in the book of Revelation, he talks about the heaven and earth coming together as one. That image of whatever heaven might be, I mean, it's sort of up there somewhere, all airy-fairy. But as we have learned through the centuries, that actually there's so much more above there that actually I'm not quite sure where heaven is. But heaven is not up there. Heaven is here. And when Jesus came to walk amongst, that is when heaven began to be brought out. That's when we were able to encounter all of God's promises of healing, acceptance, of love, of forgiveness, of a new way of being with each other that talked about peace, not war, that talked about love, not hate, that gave hope to people who thought they were hopeless. That's what this is all about. So we are called to live that life as if we really believe that God dwells within us, as if we really believe that the church is all of us. And not just us in this room, but all those people who say, I believe in God, made known through Jesus Christ and lived out through the power of the Spirit. All of us, worldwide. Now we have some scouts here this morning dressed in their scout uniform. And on, that was Thursday, wasn't it? Thursday we gave out badges to those who are going from Beavers into Cubs, and the Beavers were giving out badges as well. And they were reminded that as part of the Scout movement, they are part of a worldwide organisation. And wherever they go in the world, they are part of that body of people. Well, that's an amazing thing. But we're the church. And we too are part of a worldwide organisation. But actually, at its very, very best, very, very best, lives out the gospel so that all people can come to know who Christ is, because we are, at best, the interpretation of Christ that others can see. We should be mirroring that image of Christ, the love, the compassion, and doing all that we can to challenge injustice wherever we encounter it, until the day comes when there is no more war, there is no more disease, no more catastrophic disasters, no more tears, no more mourning, for all that is destructive, which is hatred, envy, greed, and death itself, will be defeated. There will be that time, and that's the promise that has been made, and a promise that we hold on to, that there will be a time when we can talk and live peaceably. And one of those things is we allow the Spirit of God to work through us for the good of all creation, greening our lives, enhancing the lives of others, nurturing our young people, loving those who find it difficult to love themselves. And that's often because of the way they've been treated by others. We have the opportunity to embody that love. So listen to God. Listen to what God says. God says to all of us, look, I am making all things new. Then in faith, live your life as if you believe that and are part of the newness, making process, making the way forward for all people, supporting all that is life-enhancing and challenging everything that demeans and impoverishes others, believing ultimately that God has got this
God has got this. God made known in Christ has got this. God embodied in each of us has got this. God's Spirit that works through us can help us encourage others to believe that message too. We're going to sing a Fred Pratt Green hymn in a moment. And one of the themes, or two themes, that work through most of his hymns are two things. One is the providence of God, the fact that what we have is of God. But also, each of his hymns lays a responsibility on us to actually say, yes, this is of God, and so are we. And we as the church need to do something about it. The church's task is to continue Christ's ministry in this and every age. And within this hymn that we're going to sing now, Fred Pratt Green has got those two things written large all over it. So we're going to sing that it is God who holds the nations in the hollow of his hands.